Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rood.
And I'm Just Harold. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast. Ultimatum, season two in finger quotes, because it should be season three. Recap of episodes 7 and 8. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
Yes, and for those of you new to the show, just remember that this is how we got here, okay? A little while back, Tom made a deal with the devil, and he said he wouldn't watch reality TV until they had a Black Bachelor. Pandemic hits. Lo and behold, enter Matt James. He's stuck watching, because sticking to his word, watching that season of The Bachelor. Me being the good friend that I am, I watch it with him. Him being the good friend that he is, he in turn watched one of my favorite shows, Married at First Sight, season 13. We've been doing it ever since. And that is watching Married at First Sight. Why? Because he loves it. And is he doing this Netflix? Because he loves Netflix reality TV dating shows even more.
Nope. I do it because we have a little over 4,000 subscribers that like us to do this stuff. I'm doing it for them. Sacrificing. For the good of others. You should try it.
Is that what you're going with?
Yes. Sticking with it.
All right, well, let's stick to it and get to it. Pick it up, episode 7. Last time we left off, they had the changeover. We saw Raya and Trey as they were back together for the first time. Now we pick up with Roxanne and Antonio, the toxic couple, and they're getting busy in the night vision.
Yeah, giving them the business, which I'm like, why are we watching this? Like, why do y'all have to really show that? But whatever. They're toxic. It's
you said it correctly, though. You said it correctly. You said giving the business to him, because that's what it was. Because as we find out the next morning, Roxanne is the one who decided to get up on Funyun Boy and initiate sex.
Yeah, initiate sex and all that, which is great, right? But then she said, even though he smelled like Funyuns.
Ugh.
Again, why? You respect him like an MF. But
yes.
Okay.
And that's why
kudos to you. I mean, like, why not just tell him, hey, you need to go shower and brush your teeth and cut back into the bed? Why not just tell him that?
Makes no sense, but hey. Oh, look, you know, the rag is usually for after. Start with it first.
Yeah, you need to wash. So, so I like how the next morning she's just all, I was really stressed. I was really tense this morning. I'm like, after last night? Okay.
Well, look, man. Apparently, Antonio is lazy in more ways than one.
Just saying.
But one of the things she talks about that she's going to do, that she's going to work on, because you know, they talk about things they're going to work on together. Everything's happy-go-lucky. So she's going to work on saying, I love you, right? And Antonio, in turn, says, you know, the one thing that he is afraid of is that Roxanne still doesn't want to get married, right? And that's going to be the big thing for him. And that's where he's worried about that.
Right. Well, you know, here's what's funny to me is after 4 years in, now you're going to start working on saying, I love you.
Right.
I just find that to be really odd that you can be with someone 4 years. I guess I can tell you I love you more. Jeez. You're so needy.
To be fair, when they came back to them later in that episode, the first thing we hear is her saying, I love you. Unfortunately for Antonio, it was to the cat.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't to him. That was all for a little fur baby. And, you know, and that's another thing that bothered me. She made this big deal. And it's all about her. You saw how, take my boots off and all that. So he's like a little servant to her, which is, I think, the role that he plays.
And that's what she wants.
And that's what she wants. And then he says, I love you. And she's just like, okay. And then he's looking at us like, she's like, I love you too?
Yo, that is the worst. I'm like, the fact that she struggles to tell him, I love you. Why can't you just say it back? Well, because I don't in that moment. What? Since when is love turned on and off? It's like a switch. It's like the hot water. You got to warm up. We got to warm it up first.
Yeah. It's not 8. I start to love you until 8 o'clock. It's only 6:30. It's too early for me to be out loving you too right now.
Oh, my God.
That was just sad. And the fact that Antonio puts up with that, that says something about him. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, you know, Antonio, as much as I don't really care for this dude, from what I've seen, mm-hmm. I don't know him personally, but just what I've seen, I'm just like, I'm not a big fan. Find someone that matches your love language, man.
Right.
If you know you need that, find mm-hmm. somebody who gives you that. But I get why he can't leave Roxanne, because then he'd be broke.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he needs a sugar mama. You know, it's funny you brought that up about the love language, because one thing I noticed throughout this season is that there's a lot of talk of love languages, right? Especially when mm-hmm. we get to our next couple, right? Kat and Alex. Because Kat tells Alex he needs to open up and be vulnerable at times. And then she also tells him that she needs words of affirmation. And his response is, yeah, they don't do anything for me.
Yeah, Alex is going to be Alex, right? Yes. And to me, I don't look at Alex as wrong. I look at Alex as he's who he is, and Kat has to decide, is this who I want to be with? Because he's pretty much saying that, hey, I get that's what you need, but it doesn't really do anything for me. So I don't put a lot of effort into those things because it's just something I think about. You know, although he has this high standard that he wants Kat to do more little things to show that she's thinking about him.
Exactly.
But he's not going to do these things. And so it's like, well, Kat, you got to decide. Alex is not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
He's just going to be who he is.
Who did that remind you of? I think we just spoke. Me? We just talked about it. Well, you too, but yeah. And Roxanne. Because remember, you just said about Roxanne, what it's all about her getting the boots off. And here's Alex. It's all about me. Yeah, they don't do anything for me, even though I know that's what you need. I don't need it, so therefore you shouldn't either.
Right. I mean, but you hit the nail on the head that this is why him and Roxanne would be a very toxic relationship. They wouldn't be the right people to be together. They'd be that annoying couple everybody hates mm-hmm. that's going to come around, try to dominate game nights, talk trash, and then get into a fight when they lose game night.
Right.
You know, all those different things, right? So, but they're both selfish. Mm-hmm. And Alex is just very selfish. And Kat has to decide if this is what she wants, because I just don't see Alex changing in any way, you know, to do anything different to help Kat feel like he's fully in. You know, Alex say doesn't feel that she does like the little things, but she even admits that she doesn't. So it almost sounds like they both have some things they need to work on. It's not just one-sided, but I think if there's anyone that was going to put effort to change in that couple, it's Kat. Alex, zero.
Because at least she admits it. He was just like, yeah, well, of course I don't. It doesn't mean anything to me. It's a big difference. And the next thing happens, Kat meets up with her friends and Maria and Allie, right? And the first thing I thought is, why does it feel like Kat is lying to her friends about how this whole process is going?
Yeah, it's going great. Of course, you're not going to tell your friends, like, girl, I'm miserable. Help me out. You know, Well, what I thought was funny about that, she's selling this pretty picture, and they're just like, look, you know, Alex, this, are you sure? Are you ready to cut it off? If he says, if he's still not willing, are you ready to move on? And then when Alex shows up, Alex, hey, I'm just like, oh, girl, y'all so fake.
But here's the thing, because, you know, immediately, and of course, in this place, when they show it, immediately before he shows up, Mariah drops some knowledge where she goes, look, if a guy says, I don't want to get married, it really means he doesn't want to marry you. And I think that's something that she needs to hear, because if this is what you really want, and this is what you need, and this man has just told you, I would give you words of affirmation if they were important to me. Then I think she kind of needs to hear that. But you're right. they all show up. At least they're like, okay, well, let's be nice. And you say this fake. I say, okay, they try to be nice. There's no need for him to show up, and they just attack immediately. He's hanging out with all the girls, right? So they're hanging out. And as soon as he sits down, after they've butted him up with the hugs, here come the questions quickly. They just keep coming at him. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, which I'm sure he knew that that was going to be coming. And I'm sure Alex was prepared, but also Alex doesn't care. And so there's not anything that they're going to say that's going to shake Alex.
Yeah,
he's a mighty oak tree. He's not going to be moved in any way. And so they're like, well, now after this, are you ready? What is he going to say? Oh, yeah, I'm going to propose. I'm ready to get married now. What do you expect him to say?
Well, I expect him to say something better. And here's the thing. I like that Maria dropped that knowledge to Kat, that line about, you know, he doesn't want to marry. No, he just doesn't want to marry you. And then when Alex decides to say, I know what has to happen when this is all over. And Allie is like, wait. What has to happen or what you want to happen? Because they're trying to get Kat to see this man, he's just not that into you.
Mm-hmm. She's not going to see it, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's just it. I mean, she's not going to see it. I think, and I don't know if Kat has some self-esteem issues. And maybe she thinks she can't get someone better, you know, but goodness, it's like, yeah, know your worth.
It's the one good thing that Roxanne did in this block of the show, where Roxanne said to her when it was the ladies' night out, she said, "You are beautiful. You can get anyone you want." And just basically let them know, like, hey, you don't have to settle, right? And I think even though she's settling at the same time. So blind leading the blind. Next one up.
Yeah.
Raya and Trey. Because it's the next morning and Raya says she is still hurt. And Trey's like, well, come on over here. Well, I can't come too close. I'm still hurt. You still hurt me by saying that you have feelings.
Right. Well, and earlier she was upset because James wouldn't touch her when I need a hug. So now Trey is doing that. And now it's like, what do you mean? I don't want to get too close. He's just being all funky, like a kid. So maybe intimacy for her, maybe she's just intimately awkward. I don't say challenge, just awkward.
Okay.
You know, maybe it's just not as easy, comfortable. I mean, I remember I Tibbetta dates one. And our second or third date, I tried to hold her hand in the movie. And she talked about how that was, because her and her previous relationship, they're together for a long time. They didn't do a whole lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, I don't know what to tell you, but I can't. I can't date somebody who, this is weird. We're just talking about hand holding. That's it? Yeah, I can't. I'm out. But maybe she just didn't like my black tail, right? Maybe she's just like, I don't want to hold hands with you. Doesn't matter. I was out.
It didn't take me years. Want to hold your hand?
Yeah. It didn't take me years to figure that out. I'm like, okay, this is day three. Out.
Hey, no need to hang around for any reason. For any reason then.
But I think but she keeps talking about how hurt she is, the fact that he has feelings for someone else. I think she's using that as her way out. And that's what she's going to build her case of why she doesn't want to marry him and all that, to make it sound like it's his fault. Because that's really what she's doing is, you know, building we're having problems right now because this is your fault that you caught feelings for someone else that you hung out with for a few weeks on a show that I agreed to come on with you on.
Well, at the same time, I did think that what she said next was very telling, though, because she said that when... Trey never asked what she wanted in a marriage. He just said, look, I'm ready to be married. I want to be married. I want to be married at this age. Here's what I want to do. He just laid out what he wanted, but never asked her what she wanted.
Oh, but that's her immaturity, because why didn't she bring that up? Why didn't she bring that conversation up? I'm just saying, we can't keep making excuses for people. She could have easily brought that up and said, hey, I know you want to get married, but we need to talk about a few things. First of all, this. And then even after that conversation, Trey was like, well, we never talked about how many kids we want, all this other stuff. I'm like, dude, you're trying to, you say you want to marry her and y'all haven't had these conversations?
Yeah.
You're not ready to get married either.
interesting because you're right. That this conversation revealed that. And then they're disagreeing on where to live. You know, Raya wants the city life. And it's interesting because I've seen people in the comments from episode 1 and 2, and they're already saying, like, yeah, no, she wants that city life, and this is going to be her excuse, you know? So as we're here now and we're getting to see, because obviously some people have watched all 8 episodes already in advance. And now we see this part, and she's talking about the city life, and he's like, yeah, but I'm not going to just leave my job to go do that.
Right. And then what does he do? Again, trying to put a square peg in a round hole. Well, tell you what, you go live in the city for a year. I'm going to go buy us the house over here. And then once you get that out of your system, come on back. No.
And if Ryan isn't in this house, you're welcome to come in. Now, the next thing they do is they go meet up with Raya's sister, Shakira. Who obviously drove there, and she says that while she didn't like the fact that Trey caught feelings for another woman, she respects Trey for being honest and telling Raya about her feelings.
Yeah, because A, let's not give Trey too much credit. He told her because there's cameras all over the place. She would have found out.
Let's give him some credit. He had time.
Let's not give him too much credit. It's great. It's easy to be honest and all that when there's cameras around where you know this is going to come out.
But he had time.
All I'm saying is I don't want to give him too much of a pass because there's cameras around. He's smart. He knows if I don't say something, this is going to come out. So at least I was honest and said it to her face. So
the man is an engineer. He's a forward thinker.
Very, very much so. But her sister also was saying the comment that about the way they grew up and, you know, we're independent women and we can't depend on a guy, something like that. And I'm like, well, you can be an independent woman and still be in a relationship where you depend on a partner. And I think I think those two things can coexist. I don't think it's one or the other. You're either independent or you're codependent. I think that you can depend on a partner and still be an independent woman at the same time. Exactly. So when she said that, I was just like, but then also I'm thinking, well, Raya, you know, you have visions and goals, but you're not doing anything to work towards them because you don't really know what you want to do. And right now you're slinging wings and you're living with Trey. So you don't really have a pot to piss in a window to throw it out of, except your really nice car.
Yeah, she's She's driving that Mercedes to Hooters right now.
And I get it.
It looks good.
it looks great, but are you really independent if that's how you live in? I don't know. Just my thought.
I see where that I understand why that would be a red flag for you. I think the red flag for me was the fact that this is a sister. They're supposed to be really close, right? This is the first time she found out that they actually both love each other. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. I couldn't believe that. This is the first time her sister's heard that she loves him. I'm like, so A, y'all aren't as close as y'all trying to make it seem like on TV. They just asked for you to bring somebody. And you're like, hey, what are you doing Saturday?
You're going to be my sister today.
Yeah. You want to come on film? So I thought that's really odd. Mm-hmm. That, you know, she hasn't been that open and could easily talk with her sister about how she felt with Trey.
Well, she was very comfortable telling her sister other stuff because all of a sudden Trey's like, yeah, so I didn't tell you this. And she's like, oh, that she can't get wet. Oh, wait a minute. And he's like, wait, hold up. I tell you what, I'm going to let y'all have this conversation. I'm going to take my ass over here. I think I left the iron on.
Yeah. And that conversation after that, I was just like, wow, Raya, like what do you want then? Because she's going down this path of, you know, things that she wants to be more open about and wants to try sexually. What if I'm into some weird stuff? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't think that's the issue of y'all's relationship. Great. Explore and have fun with that. There's nothing wrong with that part of it. But I don't know if everything in the relationship was great, except the bedroom, well, then maybe that would make sense to me. But okay. It seems to me like their issues are outside the bedroom.
Because she says it is a big thing. Because she can please him. He can't please her. Could you be with somebody that doesn't please you?
No, but I wouldn't be with somebody for 2 years that doesn't please me. She told her sister, like, yeah, I love him. I don't think about other men. Duh. Really? So there's no way I'd be 2 years with a woman that couldn't please me and say that I love her. And I'm not thinking, I don't think about any other woman except her, except she doesn't make me happy. No.
Yeah. Good point. Next couple, Ryan and James. And Ryan, when we first see them, is committing the cardinal sin because James has taken the time to plan their outfits, their matching outfits. And here she is on this date. And constantly talking about her and Trey and how they... Well, last time I wore this, I was on a date with Trey and we just automatically matched. Just so many times, you know, that we were there and then all of a sudden we pop out and we're wearing the same color. And James is like, you bring up his name one more time and I'm going to show you some colors.
Like, me and Trey like peas and carrots. Tell you. Life's like a box of chocolates.
You never know what you're going to get, but you know what we're going to wear.
And kudos to James for like, hey, I'm going to need you to stop.
Yes.
You know, bring that up. Because I wouldn't want to hear all that either. But right. I feel like James missed a good opportunity at that point to use that time to talk about whatever the secret is. Right. Whatever he's been holding back. This was your opportunity. Mm-hmm. This is a great opportunity to do it.
Right there, right then, as they're having this. You're right. Because here they are. But instead, he does say he wants to go do these wineries and all these wineries around the Southeast and, you know, have muscadine wine and cheese and Chattahoochee boards. I know it's charcuterie, but still. I'm gonna come up with different ways to say that every time I can. The thing I like, though, Ryan in this place, like, tells James that she feels he doesn't think that she would ever leave him. Mm-hmm. And that she doesn't want to settle down and just settle back into old habits because they're comfortable. And I thought that was very interesting and needed to be said.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's been 7 years.
Right. He needed to hear it. And she probably needs to keep saying it to where he understands that, hey, you could potentially lose me. Mm-hmm. If you don't get it together, you know, and make the ultimate commitment, make the ultimate thing that I want is to get married. So, and it sounds like because of maybe the 3 weeks she's had with Trey, she's more comfortable being open to say what she really wants, what she really thinks, without worrying about how it's going to negatively impact James's mood.
Did you notice that when she talked about this, about not wanting to hold him back. And because, you know, I don't want you to, I know you wanted to go get a job with more money. And we get more about that when we get to episode 8. But the fact that she's like, you know, I don't want to hold you back. If you want to leave for a bigger job, then I don't want to hold you back. He's like, he says what we heard before from someone else. I just want you. We know how today. That's working out for the other couple. Yes.
Today. I just want you today. Doesn't mean that's how he truly feels long term in this.
So next time we see them, there's a big late night. This thing argument was like a club. I mean, it was rolling all night, late into the night, into the after hours spot. Like, what the hell was going on? It felt like they were arguing over nothing.
It sounded like they were just going in circles and... Mm-hmm. You know, maybe this is why I've not been married, because I'm like, look, it's 1.
Yes.
I got to get up at 6. Even if we try to finish this argument, you're still going to be mad at 6. So let's just wait till 6. Let me get a nap. And as I'm getting ready for work, we can continue this conversation. But right now, it's time to go to bed. I thought that and I'm like, y'all eating grilled cheeses at like 1 something in the morning? to be young with that young metabolism,
right?
But listening at him get so irritated I'm like, where's this anger coming from? And again, I'm like, is this when the secret's going to come out? But like, where's all this weird misplaced anger that's happening? And almost to the point I was worried, like, is this going to turn verbally abusive?
Right.
You know, because he wound up breaking the dish because he was so mad. I'm like, okay, those are signs when people can be a little bit crazy. And so it starts out small, but it just builds. So I thought that whole interaction, I thought was very telling about some of the struggles they've had in their relationship.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about this, think about this for a minute. These 3 weeks for them are going to be the longest they've ever been.
Yes.
Living together. And this time without the parental
adult supervision.
No, they still have adult supervising them because the camera crew is always there. But they're not their parents. That's that.
Right. But camera crew leaves at some point. So they have alone time. Right. So, but you're right. This is the longest they've been together out of seven years, these 3 weeks on this show.
And if this is what they do when they're alone late at night, that's a problem. I think you're doing it wrong, James. You're doing it wrong. But the next morning he realizes it and he apologizes. And then he breaks down and talks about his past. And here you finally get what you've been looking for. The big secret where the bodies are buried.
Yeah. So, and his secret is something I don't want to minimize what he's gone through. He lost his dad at a young age. His mom, I think being a single mom, truck driver, she's hustling, trying to just take care of her family, doing what she has to do. For whatever reason, it sounds like he's taking his dad dying at a young age, partly his fault, and all these different things. And so for him to cope with a lot of that, he started hurting himself, kind of like being a cutter, and started doing these different things to himself. And that's what he was afraid to tell Ryan about for years, the things he would do to himself to try to cope when he was dealing with whatever stress that triggered him. So I get how that could be tough to tell somebody. I still think in 7 years, if y'all were that close and you thought she was the one, you could have opened up and told her that. But whatever, that's on him. And even when they were arguing, he was trying to bring up stuff with his mom. Ryan's like, yeah, that's something you need to work out. So, I mean, I truly think, I hope that he doesn't propose. I think what they should do is, let's put a pause on this. You go get some therapy and get some counseling. Then once you feel you're in a better spot, then let's talk about proposing.
And if I'm not in Trey's house by then, out in the country, in the mountain or down by the lake, we can try and work this out. See how
it can work out. Back in, right? He goes to therapy. Ryan goes to the big city. Ryan and Trey. Hey, big head.
Sitting in the tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. You know, the thing, though, that Ryan does say is, like, you know, she starts to feel bad because she was there through a lot of this. And she's like, I can't believe I didn't notice. And at least James in that moment doesn't come at her in that manner. Instead, he's like, I was good at hiding it, basically, is what he was saying to her, right? And then he did say that he's never not known that he wanted to marry her. So, but, you know, that double negative usually never works out anyway. End of episode 8. Now, here we are back in episode 7. Here we are now, episode 8. And we're still with Ryan and James. But they're meeting James' mom, who we've heard about before, Laura. And now, the first thing I notice is James describes their argument. Well, we had a small little argument. Leaving out the part that it was this small little argument that went on for 3 hours in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Right, where he broke a dish. That's not a small little argument.
At all.
You're arguing from 1 to 3 in the morning? That's not small. That's a big argument.
That was very unnecessary.
It was. And I like James's mom. I thought Laura was cool. She seems to be no nonsense, black and white. It's either this or it's this. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like that. But as she's asking, how do you feel about James, what she
felt? Yes, go ahead. That's exactly what I was about to ask.
About how you felt about that. About the job and career and money and all that. And he's just like, no, I just want love. She's looking at him just like, are you crazy? Because she's coming from a place that she knows love is not enough. And that's where her mind is going. And it almost sounds like James is going into this whole aerospace engineer to make his mom proud. Mm-hmm. Not that that's something that he's passionate about. And as a recruiter, I get it.
Do you
find
believe
something
him?
You're passionate about and do it? I honestly think that he was doing these things for the money and title for his mom.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much for himself or to set him and Ryan up. It was more to make his mom proud. But his mom is just floored because she's just like, okay. You know, obviously we have different views, you know, mm-hmm. of what finances plays a role in our relationships. We have different viewpoints on that. But I think she's lived and she's seen the struggle. And she doesn't want that for her son. He has to realize that that's great that you love her, but you can't, you know, put love in a Venmo and pay a bill.
That is okay. That's a great point. And to his rebuttal to that was, yeah, I'll still get a good job down here. We'll be fine. And actually, I think he just doesn't want to go to Huntsville because that's where there's also a NASA thing as well too. But you know, the thing about it too, because I didn't think about that. I thought maybe he was just lying because he wants to be with Ryan. But as you say that, as a recruiter and seeing that kind of stuff where people are making these decisions, these life decisions to appease others. The thing that I do remember him saying was about trying to be the perfect person like his dad, that he felt the pressure to be like his dad. Because of course, his dad was gone when he was young. The picture they paint for him is how perfect he was. Obviously, right? And maybe that's what it is, that this is what he wants to do this, you know? So I can see what you're saying, because I did not see it that way when I was watching it, but you do, because my thought initially was, is it fair for him to give up his dream for Ryan? But you're saying it wasn't even his dream. It was really more so just to appease his mom, so.
I think so. I think it was more to get that degree and go in that field to make his mom proud, but not so much for himself. And I hope he can find a good job wherever they live and he doesn't have to relocate and move. Right. And maybe that would help their relationship, because I doubt Ryan, because family is so important to her. I don't think she's the type that would just pick up and move and relocate and just get married and start a family, you know, thousands of miles away from my family.
It's, you know, and that's a tough one when people are in these relationships and moving away from family, because you're like, yeah, but you can call them. I mean, it's 2023. You got FaceTime, okay? We can go see them. We make enough money, we can go see them. It's okay. You still have time. They can come visit, you know? So I can see why that dynamic can be one thing, but he's willing to give that up for that space to a point, because as they're having another conversation later, he says, as they're talking about the next step, because we know what she wants the next step to be. The next step should be engagement. She doesn't want to fall back into the old habits. And he says, well, you know, maybe our next step should be moving in together.
Yeah. Which I laugh because it took you this long to throw that out onto the table. I would have figured year five. Hey, we should move in.
Right.
And let's start build something together. But you're going to wait till this experience and knowing that the ultimatum's coming. I think that's his way to try to keep her dangling on the hook until he decides long term if he wants to be with her.
If the first love isn't coming back, because he still hasn't told about the first love, which he won't. But she's going to see this. So like you said, he should probably say it anyway. But she recognizes it. So she goes, look, if we did this when we were when you were going to grad school, we'd be in the same place. You wouldn't have been any closer to giving me a ring. So why would I move in with you? And she's absolutely right. Old school will always tell you, you know, why buy the cow when you get the milk for free? And I think the next line she tells him was very important for him to hear, because she says she's come to terms that she'd be okay without him.
Yeah.
Says a right, whole lot.
Which that says a whole lot, and hopefully he took that to heart. I mean, who knows? We'll see what happens with that couple, but yeah.
Well, this next couple, who are forever tied in, you know, with Ryan and James, Raya and Trey go to dinner as he's trying to do something a little bit more romantic. And so they have the dance floor lights going over their table while they're eating. I'm like, okay, hold on. These are the club lights. Why are y'all in the club eating?
It's because you didn't want to see that wig line. So he's like, can we just dim these a little bit?
I just want to point out, you know, I thought about that after episode when we talked about that, with her in the pool with James, right? I was like, man, what's that mean? And then my wife was starting to catch up with the episodes. And she goes, does a screenshot, send it to me. Yo, why would they have her on camera like this? And I was like, okay, we're good. We're good.
Well, I mean, that's my whole point. You can't roll around in your dream car Mercedes and all this other stuff, and you can't fix that.
Yeah. I
mean, can't fix that.
This is why representation matters. If a sister was there on set, she'd have been like, hey, Riot, come here, come here. Jariah, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. Let me just slip that back down for you. You know, Trey says he feels like he's the only one planning for their future. And he's just like, so he's not happy about this.
He's not, but he's not listening to Raya. Because Raya is pretty much telling him all the things he needs to know. He's just not listening to it. You know, she keeps stressing how she doesn't feel like he's good enough because he has everything in order for him. She's still trying to figure it all out.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of saying she's not ready for what he wants. And then still the back and forth about where do they live and all that. Trey is just 100%, I want you. And she's trying to like be nice and tell him, I don't think I'm ready for all this. Not saying in those words. So that to me, that's a little bit on Trey.
This is where I see this whole using the move as an excuse of city living, because she wants to go to Atlanta, right? And she's saying this is the biggest hurdle because she doesn't want to force him to live in a place where he doesn't want to go. However, she also doesn't want to do the long distance thing, right?
Right.
So what do you want? Or do you just want to break up? Because she wants to at least try this city living. I'm going to tell you something. When you come to Atlanta, do not move inside the perimeter. Now, you know, if you've watched enough movies, the perimeter tells you a whole lot. When you hear a place called a perimeter, you understand what to do. You got to be, which side should I be on, the inside or the outside? So you're not going to get the city living anyway. Yes, you're not going to get that city living you need anyway. You'd just be closer to the city. And if you're up there in Charlotte, Charlotte city still. I know Atlanta's bigger, but she wants to. And, you know, a lot of people in the area have that mentality of, well, I want to go to Atlanta. So I get, well, she's young.
She's young. And so maybe she's looking at videos and rap music and R&B and like, ooh, I want to go to Atlanta, T-Pain and all those other folks and want to be in the thick of it. And to your point, you don't realize what you're getting yourself into. You come to the thick of that. Mm-hmm. And maybe she just never had a chance to experience it, which tells me she still wants to experience some things, probably not being in a relationship. So you can say, hey, I don't want you to force yourself to move and find a job to be where I'm at. And I don't want a long distance relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So she's trying to get him to go, well, maybe we should break up then. Well, if you think that's what would be best, she makes it like it's his idea. Well, if you think that's what would be best, I totally support that. I understand.
Well, considering her dream car is a nice one, yeah, she may want to trade that in, and she decides to move to the city, especially she's going to live in the city. I'm just going to say that. Not everybody rides around their cars. Hey, Atlanta's different. It ain't the old Atlanta. So that's what they keep saying. But one of the things Trey says is that, well, Raya says that if Trey wanted to move wherever he wanted to move, she'd be willing to move, no questions asked. Which is weird, because she keeps stressing where she wants to move. And he's like, no, I want to be here. And she's like, no. So you're lying. And she's lying to try and make it seem this way, right? But the other thing that he had a problem with is the fact that he said she didn't have a plan. She just wanted to move to Atlanta. She didn't have a plan.
Right.
Another thing about Atlanta, it's expensive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's, I admire young people that do that. All the time that I relocated and moved around, I had a plan. I'd never been to Memphis before, but I was with the same company that was moving me there. And so I moved around with the same company. So I wasn't too worried about it, but I've come across a lot of people, even here in Austin. a lot of people just move here to Austin. I'm, hey, I'm going to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And once I get there, eventually I'll find a job. Eventually I'll find a place, whatever. Mm-hmm. I admire people that can do that. But I think to Trey's point, because he's a little bit more established, he realizes that you really need a plan if you're going to go move somewhere, you know?
The thing about it that I think was really the icing on the cake, to your point, is when she was questioning whether her personal growth has made her grow past Trey. And then that made me think, why are you trying to convince him to move to Atlanta? Just go ahead and break up with him.
And again, editing, right? Because all those conversations could have happened in a total different order than what they showed it. You know, so maybe that's just editing. But you're right. I mean, I think she has to decide, is this what she wants? Is this where she wants to be or not?
Look, we're back with Roxanne and Antonio, and we are back with Roxanne's parents, who didn't seem really happy with Antonio at all. Am I wrong here?
No, her dad knows Antonio's a scrub. But yes. I think her dad also, Roxanne's dad also knows that, look, if I try to fight her on this guy and really push back, it's not going to help anything.
Right.
This is what she wants. I got to figure out a way to just be okay with it. And he was trying to be really nice when he was said, what's the difference between Antonio and Alex?
Mm-hmm.
Job. And he was like, look, and I totally understand where you're coming from, because Antonio's saying he wants to be a provider and all that type of stuff, but he can't.
Yeah.
You know, but the dad knows he's a scrub, but he knows if I try to like tell my baby girl, what the hell are you doing? Mm-hmm. This is going to make her like him even more. So.
Which is why it makes sense of what he did next when he was like, he asked her, okay, so Antonio's working on these things to please you, Roxanne, but what are you doing to please him?
Yeah. Oh, I'm trying to say I love you more, even though I didn't. And I made a big deal of that beforehand, but that's what I'm trying to do now. To make herself look good, to protect her brand. So yeah, she's for TV.
And she's still harping on that financial. Antonio is just so clueless there. And the parents are just like, yeah, well, you know, you're going to start a business and, you know, you're going to buy one, then you're going to do two, then three. And
yes. Successful. Slow down. Like, slow down. When they said that, I was like, that's being a little too nice.
Exactly. Look, he has a hard time just having a job. You want him to be the business owner. Come on. Okay.
Right.
Next up, Kat and Alex. And Alex's parents come for a visit. And is it me or Alex's mom not seem happy to be around Kat again?
I didn't see a difference in that. I mean, their whole interactions all still seem to be the same, but it did seem like the mom couldn't wait to get one thing off her chest that she's been waiting to say to Kat's face. So, so the dad said that, you know, the thing I've noticed about everyone Alex has been with, there's always like they debate. He likes to challenge them and all that. And I've never seen y'all two debate. And then the mom was like, you know what?
Yes.
I was thinking about that when I met Roxanne. And I always thought that Alex needed a strong woman to challenge him.
Yo, that was shady as hell. But hey. You know, what I did like was Alex jumping to her defense in that moment.
Yeah, because he said that she's challenging, but not like a Roxanne kind of way, but more in a soft way, supportive. He defended her. And I really think deep down, Alex likes the person Kat is.
Right.
But he's also Alex, who's not going to change. But right. I think he truly likes the way that Kat is to him.
Yeah. So here we are, because we know we're going to get to the ultimatums next. We saw Raya and Trey, you know, and they're matching, well, close to matching colors, and they meet up, and of course, next week.
Right.
But let's do our quick predictions real quick. I know we hadn't talked about it yet, and I've got Kat and Alex up here, so we'll just start with them. You know, Kat is the one who brought Alex there. She issued the ultimatum. Do you think she still says yes? What do you think Alex is going to do? Does this couple make it, or do they break up?
I think they stay together.
Do they stay together?
I think they stay together. I think Kat could have left a long time ago. I think that she's just this is who she is. This is who this is who her person is. And Alex is going to be content with it. I don't think that they get engaged, but I do think they stay together at least for the end of the show. Now, the reunion, obviously, different story. We're not talking that. We're just saying at the end of the show, just in case you try to throw another deal of the devil with me, I'm just making sure I'm putting some stipulation on now.
Smart man.
I think
Smart
they man. Will say yes at the end of the final episode. I can't guarantee they're going to be together at the reunion.
Kat definitely says yes, and I think Alex is in that space. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me, like you said, by the reunion, that Kat realizes Alex is all about himself and leaves him by then. I mean, it's not like they're 7 years in, so she's got time to... And her friends are constantly telling, you can do better. If he doesn't offer a ring, walk away. The question is, will she listen to them? I don't know that she will, but, you know, interesting to see. This couple right here, Roxanne and Antonio, what do you think? Stay together, break up, definitely not going with anybody else.
I think that they are going to stay together because they're toxic.
Mm-hmm.
His crazy matches her crazy. He just doesn't match her work ethic.
Right.
So I think they're going to stay together. Now, long term, I don't know, but... I don't see who's going to want Antonio after that, after this.
Yeah. I think I'm in the same space of this one, that they do stay together because crazy loves crazy. Until crazy sees all the things that she really said. Then again, she throws some more of that makeup Funyun sex on him. He might be good. So they may make it through even through the reunion as we get there. Now, Ryan and James, these two. What happens here? Does this break up the chain? Because right now we have the train of everybody saying yes.
I think Ryan and James stay together. 7 years, she's not dating anyone else. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of good talk, but you could have left a long time ago. I think they're still going to stay together. I think James is now realizing he can't be without her. And he broke out some tears and she broke out some tears. I think they're going to stay together.
This is the one couple, I think, where if he doesn't propose, she is. And if he proposes, I think she'll stay. I agree with you there. But if he doesn't, I do think she leaves single. She's not leaving with Trey, obviously, but she'll leave single and say, Trey, call me. I think that's what happens with these two. Speaking of Trey,
they're going to break up.
Yes. They done.
They are not going to be together after the decision. No, they're not going to be together. I don't think so.
Staples button. That was easy.
Yeah.
Well, let's see as we'll find out whether we're right or not. So, look, Thursday or Friday, what are we going to do? Don't feel forced to make a decision right now because, you know, those who like this video, and then they hit the subscribe button and hit the bell for notifications. They'll see when we post, at least when we schedule it, and then know when we go live so that they can watch it too and join.
I just had to double check. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And I said, we'd love to get some of you in during the live chat as well too, when we do, not just in the live chat, but even bring you on just about as we wrap it up the season. We've got two episodes to cover. We'll do that and then we'll bring some of you guys in and we'll put the link in there so we'll get to do this live and have some fun talking about the season. So if you haven't caught up yet, now you have time to go ahead and get caught up and we'll be back Thursday or so that'd be tomorrow or Friday and be ready to go.
Okay. Yeah, I had to double check Thursday's football lineup, and none of my teams are playing. So,
all right, so Friday it is.
And Notre Dame's not playing either. So
no, Notre Dame plays Saturday when we finally get the popcorn schedule.
Yeah, so I think we're good. So, I'm totally open. No, Eddie George?
Cool. Yeah, well, his team, you know, Tennessee State. Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts to some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on the regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.